Kof Gimel Mal Cheshvan, Sunday the 27th of October. Rabbi Yehuda Silva, the first Yisrael Mumah. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by Nishmos Rabbi Aaron Hillel ben Havavagon ben Mordechai and Mas Yetel Bes Bas Rabbi Naftali Svi by Mishpachas Forehand.
Good morning, everyone. I don't know why it's so weak the first time. Good morning.
Good morning, Rabbi Silva.
That's better. Thank you. Yeah, Baruch Hashem. We are in the beginning of the week of Parshas Toldos. In Parshas Toldos, we find that Chazal referred to Esav as the first Yisrael Mumer, as a Yisrael Mumer. At beginning, Esav was part of the lineage of Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu, but Esav chose to leave. It is only after the Avodah of Yaakov Avinu, Shemitoso Shleimo, that all his children were Ne'amonim to the Derech that Avraham Avinu had planted, the seeds that he had planted. They were Ne'amonim to Avraham Avinu's Amuna that we now are able to say, Yisrael, Afa Pishachoto Yisraelu, you're stuck. Can't get out of it. Once a Jew, always a Jew. My Rebbe, Rav Hutna Zecherno Livracha, always used to refer to it in this way. He used to say, Avram is the Erste Gevorener. He's the first one to become a Jew. Yitzchak was the Erste Gevorener. He was the first one to be born a Jew. And Yankov Avinu is the Erste Fafalener. Finish, you're stuck. You're here. But Esav, before Yaakov Avinu, left. So we understand, therefore, that a mumer is someone who wants to totally sever his ties with Avraham Avinu, with Klal Yisrael, with the Amunah of Klal Yisrael. And it's only because of Yaakov Avinu that he can't do it. But in essence, that's what he wants to do. And when we analyze the events of the sale of the Bechira, we can gain some insight into truly what a mumer is and what he wants to negate. So at first glance, Yaakov Avinu seems to be taking advantage of his twin brother Esav. Esav comes home, he's famished, he's tired, and Yaakov refuses to give him to eat unless he will sell him the b'chayra. And this has been the anti-Semitic slur against Klal Yisrael by the Gentile world that has been slung at us throughout the generations for over 2,000 years. We take advantage of the weak. We are cunning. We're shrewd. We cheat in order to take advantage for ourselves. But if we analyze what Esav wanted to sell and what Yaakov bought, we have a totally different picture. The Bechaira, the birthright, the firstborn. What is the Bechaira? So the Bechaira is clearly to become the spiritual heir of Avraham Avinu. That's what the true Bechaira was. Avraham and Yitzchak Avinu, they taught the world a new message. A message that the world had totally and completely forgot. They forgot that there is a creator of heaven and earth, and that he indeed is the master of the universe. That there was a message of tzedek, of tzedakah, of mishpat, as the pasuk clearly says, Vayera ki yedativ, leman asher yitzav es bono ves beiso yacharov lishmor derech Hashem, lasoy tzedakah mishpat. So this is what Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu taught. When Moshe Rabbeinu comes before Paroi, he made it very evident that the Bechaira was those who belonged to those who were going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Koy Omar Hashem, says Moshe to Paro, B'ni Bechairi Yisrael, V'oimar Alecha, Shlach es Bonai V'yavduni. Send out my children to serve me. Who are my children? B'nei Bechayra Yisrael. So the Bechayra is the Avodah. The Bechayra is those who are going to attach themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we have to know that this Bechayra has to be earned. Because we see with the Bechayras at Maimon HaSinai, they lost it. They taka were Bechayrim. And what happened? They didn't object to the Egel at Har Sinai, at the Chet Egel, and they lost it, and it was given over to Levi. And when Esav laments, he's complaining, why is it that you gave the bracha to Yitzchak and you didn't give it to me? What was his concern? His only concern was the bracha of the gashmius, of the material bracha. He viewed the bechayra and the bracha as two separate things. He wanted the bracha, he didn't want the bechayra. And when the Torah concludes the entire saga of the sale and of the brachas, what does it say? Vayivez Esav es habchayra. He disdained it. It was abominable to him. He had no connection to it whatsoever. Rashi says on the pasuk, Vayivez Esav es habchayra, Heyid hakosuv rishoy. The Torah is testifying to what an evil human being Esav was. Shebiza avoidosoy shelmakoy. The avoida. So clearly, Bechayra means those who are going to be involved in the Avodah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and serving Him. Yaakov Avinu was not trying to cheat his brother. Yaakov Avinu was not cheating his brother when he offered him a bowl of lentils for the Bechayra. He wasn't giving him something which wasn't valuable for something that was extremely valuable. On the contrary, Esav had no value for the Bechayra, therefore he gave him the proper remuneration for the Bechayra. He offered a fair price because that's the value that Esav put on it. Esav comes and he says, Hinei anochi hoylech lamos v'lamo zeli Bechayra. So I heard, I think Chazal also allude to this. We know that Chazal tell us that he was cooking, what was he cooking with the Adashim? He was cooking the Sudas Havroa for Yitzchak. Avraham Avinu was just left this world because Kadosh Baruch Hu took him away 5 years early so he shouldn't see that Esav was Yotze the Tarbisro. And Yitzchak was an Avelis for Avraham Avinu. So Yankiv is cooking the Sudas Havroa. Now, Esav, we also know from Chazal, really appeared to be externally religious. He looked, he had a kapota, and he probably had a beard, and maybe even a shtreimel, who knows. But externally, he thought that if he acted that way externally, it would bring him immortality. He was convinced that Avraham Avinu would live forever. He was convinced that he would live forever originally as Adam Arishan was originally supposed to live. And he thought now this was the second edition, he's starting all over, and now the new surah would be that people would live forever. So he figured if he acts externally like Avraham Avinu, he would live forever. And when he was far informed that Avraham Avinu died, what do I need the sharad for? What do I have to dress up? What do I have to act nice? What do I have to pretend like I'm serving the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? Hinei anochi hoylech lamus. If Avraham Avinu died, I'm certainly going to die. As long as Eli b'chayra. What do I have to serve the Rabbeinu Shel Olam for? I don't need it. Esav was only prepared to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu when there was a payoff here in this world. We know that the name Esav means complete, osui, complete, finished. He doesn't see anything in this world as a process that leads to something else. This world is all that there is. There's nothing greater than what this world has to offer us. Everything has to be osui, complete. Complete and finished here, in the here and now. The bottom line, what this really is, that's the syndrome that we are all familiar with of Western culture. The Western culture that we're all seeped in. The only thing that matters, the bottom line. What have you accomplished? Well, how much did you sell? What did you do? How much did you make? Your effort, your investment, that's meaningless if it didn't pay off. That's the world of Esav. Effort and investment have no value because he's not going anywhere. It's all here. Yaakov, on the other hand, he's all the future. Yaakov, the Yud of Yaakov, represents the future, will be. Ekev also means as a result of. Ekev asher shoma Avram b'koilig. Because Avram Avinu, or as a result of Avram Avinu listening to me, then this is what's going to take place. So Yaakov represents this world as a means. As a result of this world, I'll get to the future. I'll get to the reality, to the true world. And that'll lead us to our goal. It is here that we can achieve our goal. This then is the Amuna of Avram Avinu. The Amuna of Avram Avinu, that he, as the Rambam says, Shosal Avram Avinu, the Amuna that Avram Avinu planted, which has become the essence of what it means to be a Yid. The essence of a Yid is to be Yankiv. Now, as I said, the society in which we live is the society of Esav. And it's an exact opposite, it's in total opposition to what's the DNA of Klal Yisrael that was given to us by Yaakov Avinu. So if that's the case, the Emunah, that this world is merely the process by which we can connect to the true reality, that everything else here is an illusion, and it's so fundamental to our existence here in this world, because that's the purpose of our existence, then perhaps we should investigate a little bit. What are the mechanisms we can employ to strengthen that emunah? To strengthen emunah. To strengthen the concept that I know that this world is not the be-all and end-all of existence. And to help make it really real. So let's go back to what we read yesterday in Parshas Chayisora. Eliezer goes as a shlichus from Avram Avinu to find a wife. Find a wife for Yitzchak. But it's not just to find a wife for Yitzchak. We realize that Eliezer is going to find an aim in Klal Yisrael. Someone who is now going to set the mold or the spiritual DNA of Klal Yisrael. And he had to pick the right one. And Avram Avinu tells him, don't you dare go to the Benos Kanan. Go back to Aram Narayim and look for the right person. So he says, how am I going to find the right person? So we know that the test he sets up is a test of chesed. Chesed. Is she going to do chesed? And she said, Shsei Adoni, Vatmar, Vatayrit Kada, Al Yodah, Vatashkeyu. She gave him to drink, so when he finished, and she finished giving him to drink, I'll keep on drawing until all the camels are. So you see that, what does he see? He sees that this woman is a balas chesed. She knows what it is to do something for someone else. Now, chesed is a phenomenal thing. Chesed, we all know, the Medrash tells us that one who doesn't do chesed is considered one who denies all the nisim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for Klal Yisrael. In Koheles, in Medrash Koheles, it says that one who doesn't recognize a chesed, eino makir b'toivosoi, anyone doesn't recognize a chesed that someone did to them, it's as if he denies the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the creating the world, as if he denies Hashem. The Gemara in Saita Yudalit says that the beginning of the Torah was chesed, the creation of the world, which is Olam Chesed Yibaneh, the conclusion of Torah is chesed, the burial of Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Maharal, if you want to connect to a chain, you should connect at either end and become part of the chain. So you have to connect to chesed to be part of this chain that's going to lead to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I remember Rav Huttner, Zechayna Levracha, used to put it in this way. Actually, I'm dumb to that. When I was working in the old city and working with Bochrim, a Bochur came over to me, he says, I can't feel. I'm here at the Kaisel. I don't feel anything. left, and that moved. It's a wall, and that moved. I said to him, what do you want to be moved to? He says, I want to connect to the Rabbeinu Shalom. I want to connect to God. This is supposed to be the holiest place. How come I'm not feeling anything? And we all know, I'm sure we've also had somewhat of that experience. You come there, there's a lot of noise, but you know, how do you take out of the koisel what the koisel has to provide? So I told them like this, what I heard from my Rebbe Rav Hutner. The Rabbanu Shel Olam has a wellspring of chesed, that's Olam Chesed Yibone. He wanted to create the world, he wanted to do chesed with mankind. He wanted to give them the ultimate good, which is to be close and to him and to identify with him. So from that wellspring of chesed, there was a pipeline. And through that pipeline, at the other end, emerged the world. Olam Chesed Yibone. The world came into existence through that pipeline of chesed. Now, you happen to be here in this world. You're part of this world. You want to reach the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? Go climb up that same pipeline. If you go through chesed you'll reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I don't mean, you know, give a few coins to the aniyim that come by at the kaisel, but I mean something that really negates your own personal self-interest. If you're prepared to do that, you'll reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, Rebele Zechrona Livracha, Rebele Lapian, who was also, I had the schus to learn with him, he explained it this way. That if a person is lacking chesed, he's lacking the means to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why Eliezer didn't look for anything else. All he looked for was chesed. What if this woman would have been an Avedis Avedis Zorah? What if she wasn't frum? I hate the word, but we'll use it. What if she wasn't religious? What if she didn't serve God? What if she was in opposition to serving God? How could you take the chance? How can you take a chance of someone who is so removed and you're going to make them part of the essence of Klal Yisrael? Because she's a nice person, chesed is a nice thing. But al shloisha dvarim ha'olam ha'omed. Al teira v'avoda, al gemilus chasodim. Gemilus chasodim is only one. What about the others? The avoda Hashem and the teira. So for this, we have to turn to Rabbi Chanan. Rabbi Chanan in Kibbutz Maimarim says like this. That emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is obvious. Anyone who's walking around with his eyes open in the world, anyone who's really paying attention to what's taking place in the world and to the events that occur in the world and to their own life, knows that there is a Borei Olam. That's obvious. So what's the problem? Problem is our own desires, our own negiyas, everything that we want. We want certain things and our desires get in the way. Says when you analyze the orderly and complex world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, the universe with all its galaxies and even the minute subatomic material, all those particles proclaim that there is a creator. The fact that the world is in the exact position to sustain life, clearly. Is a testimony that someone put it there. So what's wrong? What's going on? But he says it's our passion, it's our taiva, it's our desires that blind us to this obvious truth and allows us to use all the randomness of all the other theories that come around. It is our own self-interest which creates the myopia that prevents us from seeing the self-evident. We say it clearly. Every day in Kriya Shema, Lo Sasuru Acharei Levavchem V'Acharei Einechem. Acharei Einechem is Nus. What's Acharei Levavchem? Minus. Well, what's he putting it in the Minus? Minus is Deus. Minus is what I understand, what I believe, or what I reject. So that's in the Lev. Why does it say Acharei Levavchem is Minus? So the false beliefs, the minus, the negation of the emes, that comes because of the lev, because of the taivas halev. It's only our desires and our passion which deprive our intellect from being able to perceive the reality with objectivity and see things as they really are. You know, you ask anyone, do you believe in God? And they'll say, yeah, I believe in God. Of course I believe in God. Or I don't believe in God. It really doesn't matter. It's the same thing. Because saying you believe in God doesn't mean that I know that God exists. To believe in God means you've got to acknowledge that he exists. You have to live with it. It has to be real. To say I believe in a God, that's meaningless. Says Rav Shamsher Rafael Hirsch, and he brings a beautiful raya. He brings the raya is really amazing with the Melech Zdoin. When the Melech Zdoin was caught in the lime pit, and he was Rashi brings that he was miraculously saved. So Rashi says that the world then began to believe in the miracle of Avram Avinu, who was saved from the Nimrod's furnace. Then they began to believe in it retroactively. That's what Rashi says. Ask the Ramban. What connection is there from Melech Zdoim and Avram Avinu? Avram Avinu was saved because he believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That wasn't what was going on with Melech Zdoim. He didn't believe in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And why does Rashi say that it's retroactive? From now on, I saw that the Melech Zdoim was saved, so now they believed. What does it mean they believed from before? But Amunah means like this. And it could be that this is the pshat. And I think this is what Rav Shamsher Rafael Hirsch is saying. They all knew Avram was saved from the Kivshon HaEish. They were all there. It took place in front of the multitude of people. It was a public execution. The whole world knew about it. He was the one who destroyed the idols. How could they not believe it? The answer is that you cannot believe well-documented historical events. We see it happening around us all the time. Events that we know were history, which took place in our own lifetime. Or some of our lifetimes. And people are trying to deny it. People deny the Shoah of the Holocaust. It wasn't that they denied that it took place. They didn't want to acknowledge it. They didn't want to follow the implications. The conclusions were extremely uncomfortable because if they accepted that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed the nes for Avram Avinu, then they'd have to follow Avram Avinu's ways. They too would have to believe in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. They should follow in the path. So they had to reject what they clearly saw so they wouldn't feel the obligation to subjugate themselves to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. But now Melech Zdoim is also saved. No, you don't have to be part of Avram Avinu's emunah. You see, Melech Zdoim is also saved. So I can accept the fact that Avram Avinu was saved without accepting the implications. I don't have to follow. The supernatural events can benefit the wicked as well. So, it's okay. The fact that a miracle took place doesn't obligate me. So we see that our selfish desires, that's what gets in the way of our emunah. Now, let's go back to our original kasha. Why did Eliezer only look for chesed? He only looked for chesed because the selfless act of chesed doesn't mean, by the way, there's a big difference between chesed and rachmonis. Rachmonis is the pshat that the person who is the recipient of the rachmanis motivates my feeling of rachmanis, and therefore I do something for them. Chesed is totally different. Chesed is, in essence, I understand that without essence, something is missing within me. And I have to understand that my own self-interests have to be put aside. With Rachmanis, when you have Rachmanis on someone, it says, it feels good. It feels good. There's a Gevaltike Maisa. Share with you just a Maisa about Chesed. I heard this. It's a Chesedish Maisa. that there was a chassid. Rebbe comes to visit him. The chassid had an inn. And the Rebbe comes to see him in his inn, and he starts complaining. Rebbe Chanishkin Panasa. I don't have any livelihood. No one's coming. I don't have customers. I don't. It's terrible. So the Rebbe is trying to be menachem him. He's trying to give him a little bit of nechama, and that'll be okay. And just as while he's talking, boom, there's a knock on the door. Who comes in? A customer. Oh, he's so happy. He goes over to him. He welcomes him into the inn. And the customer says, yes, I would very much like to stay here. He says, but I have one problem. He says, what's the problem? He says, I don't have any money. He says, Rabbi Shalom, you finally sent me a customer, and now he doesn't have any money. What am I supposed to do? But, he sits him down, and he offers him a meal, and he tells the servants to set a room ready for him. And he gives him the first course, and he gives him the soup, then he gives him the main course, and he even gives him a dessert. At the end of the meal, the traveler says to the innkeeper, he says, maybe you can give me a glass of vodka too? Okay, so he goes over to the vat of vodka, and he fills up a cup of vodka for the man. He looks at the cup, pours it out on the floor. Fills up another cup, he looks at it again, pours it on the floor. Four times he pours the vodka on the floor. This time he fills it up with vodka, aha! Here's your glass of vodka. Says the Rebbe to him, I don't understand you. You're complaining you don't have any parnasa. Vodka's expensive. What are you pouring the vodka on the floor for? Says Rebbe, don't you understand? I filled up the vodka in this man. I gave him the first course, second course, and now he wants vodka too? I had resentment. So I poured it out. I filled the second cup. I still had a bit of resentful feeling. Till the fifth time I looked at the cup and I said, yeah. And I was able to give him with a full heart, a full, total negation of my own self-interest and giving it to him. That's what true chesed is. Now we understand completely what Eliezer was trying to accomplish. When he looked for chesed, when he was looking for someone who can negate his own self-interest, when he can put his interest aside and be concerned only with someone else. When you can do that, that'll lead to emunah. A person who has the midos of chesed, the midah of chesed, said Rebbele, that will bring him to emunah. So later on, he'll come to understand the truth because he can put away the passions of his heart so we can see the obvious. But someone who's quote-unquote frum, but doesn't have chesed, that's not the true emunah in the Rabbeinu Shalom. Because my own self-interest is at play. And that's going to stop me. That's going to stop me from connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It simply isn't enough to be a good person. Caring, considerate. But that care and that concern and that midah has to lead us to the objective reality that there's a Rabbeinu Shel Olam. That there is a Rabbeinu Shel Olam. A Borei Olam. When we can acknowledge the world around us, that it's from the Borei, not just know it, but acknowledge it and proclaim that the Borei Olam is the one who set it all in motion, then I have to rely on what he says. No, this is what Esav wanted to reject. This is what a mummer is, someone who is rejecting this. This was the legacy of our avos, and may we all be zoiche to rise above our own self-interest, to be able to objectively see the emes of Torah and the emes of the world, of the Bria, which will ultimately lead us to Dveikus Bakodesh Baruch Hu. Amen.